Hello, welcome to Henderson First Wednesday Midweek Service. Tonight, Pastor Kevin begins a new series in the book of Joshua, Possessing Your Promise. The book of Joshua is a powerful journey of faith, courage, and divine fulfillment. It tells the story of God's people crossing over into the promised land, claiming what was already theirs by divine decree. Under Joshua's leadership, they faced giants, crossed impossible rivers, and conquered fortified cities, not by might, but by obedience and trust in God. This is more than history. It's a blueprint for you to possess every promise God has spoken over your life. The time of wandering is over. It's your season to rise, to take ground, and to own the promise. Let's listen.
Tonight I'm starting a series on possessing your promise. You got to pray for Scott Brown, because see, Scott, I send the media for services. And Scott, he's so faithful, he puts it in the computer. And then I do what I did today. After lunch, I was praying, and I felt like God gave me the message for the day. So I sent Scott and said, hey, all that work you did for putting the media in, never mind. And I'm going to send you new in a couple hours. And I did. So thank you, Scott, for doing that. If you've been reading the one-year Bible, we've been reading through Joshua. And I believe our church is on the verge of receiving some promises that God's made to our church. So as I've been reading through Joshua in the one-year Bible, I say, God, increase my faith. Show me how to possess your promise. Because I believe God's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. And when God makes a promise, he keeps that promise. So for the next few weeks, we'll go back to some teaching of the Holy Spirit. I like to take breaks from it. But for the next few weeks, I want us to talk about looking at the life of Joshua. And I think there's some great principles on how to possess promise. So I think one for our church, but two, God's made promises to you. How do you possess the promise? And my goal for the next few weeks is to increase our faith. So Father, we just come to you tonight. And God, I'm so excited about tonight's message. I believe it's could change people's life. And God, the next few weeks as we talk about possessing the promises of God, God, that we want to increase in faith. We want to be people who believe that you are who you say you are and that you will do what you say you will do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said. So tonight we're going to look at the first 9 verses of Joshua 1 and principles from it at the end, okay? So verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So Moses, maybe you know, he led the Exodus, right? He led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God had made a promise to Israel. What was that promise? Land. He says, I'm going to take you out of Egypt and bring you to the promised land, which is Israel. At that point, there was no Israel. Israel got formed. And so maybe you know, Moses was leading the people out of the promised land, but under Moses' leadership, they did not ever go in the promised land. Remember, Moses sent 12 spies, and 10 gave a bad report. Joshua and Caleb get a good report, but the nation of Israel believed the bad report, and because of their lack of faith and their disobedience, they did not enter the promised land. Now Moses is dead, he's died, and Joshua's the new leader. And Joshua's mission in life is to lead Israel into the promised land. So after Moses had died, the son of the Lord, it came to pass that God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So Joshua had been trained. Moses was his mentor, and Joshua had been trained. The first thing I want to talk about tonight this is that sometimes new dreams begin when old dreams die. For Joshua to have a dream of leading the people in the promised land, Moses had to die. And then a second thing I want to notice in verse 1 is that God spoke to Joshua. God is a God who will reveal his will, his vision to you. Now, the word revelation in the Bible means to remove a veil. So what the word revelation means in Scripture, something already exists, but you can't see it because there's a barrier. Revelation means God removes that barrier. so that you can see what already existed. God has a will for this world. He has a will for your life. He has a will for your children. He has a will for your grandchildren. It's not a new will. It's the will from the beginning of time. God knew you were going to be born before your parents were ever created. God's got a will for your life. He's got a vision for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. But sometimes we can't see it. And so Joshua couldn't see God's will, but God removed the veil and he spoke to Joshua. And the one thing you've got to know in the Bible is that God is a speaking God. You have to believe if you're going to possess the promises of God, you've got to believe that God will speak to you. He's a God who speaks. In the Bible, he spoke all the time. And he spoke a lot of different ways. He spoke through a donkey. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through dreams and visions. Sometimes it doesn't tell us how he spoke. We just know God spoke. And when God spoke, like with Joshua, we don't know if Joshua heard a verbal voice. We don't know if Joshua had an impression. We don't know if Joshua had a vision. It doesn't tell us how God spoke, but it just says God spoke. And here's what we know. When God spoke in the Bible, the people knew it was God speaking, and they knew what God said, and they knew what they were supposed to do every time. When God speaks, you will not be confused. God is smart enough to make himself known to you. Today, God speaks by the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets mainly. In the first four Gospels, God spoke through Jesus. Jesus spoke. When Jesus was ascended, God sent the Holy Spirit. And today, God speaks by the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit by several ways. One, through your prayer life. So when you pray, God can speak to you. He speaks through the Bible. One of the reasons we're really encouraging to read your one-year Bible is God can speak to you when you're reading your Bible. God can make that word alive to you. God speaks through other people. Sometimes God may use me as your pastor when I'm preaching to speak directly to you. You know that was for me. I had someone come up to me after the service, we're preaching our Come Home campaign, which continues next week, 4 weeks on the prodigal son and come home. And they said, you have no idea. That was just for me. God's been talking to me about coming home. I got a text from someone who's going to be here. They're certainly going to be here this Sunday, who's having a medical issue. They weren't even here on Easter Sunday. And they said, because of this medical issue, they used to come to church here a long time ago. They told me and Greg of, we feel we need to come home. It's amazing how God's been talking to people about coming home, right? But we've been praying for this for weeks. God speaks through people. God will speak through circumstances. I believe God still speaks through visions and dreams. And sometimes God will speak through supernatural ways. It doesn't matter how God speaks. What matters is you believe that God does speak. And God doesn't just speak through preachers. God speaks to people just like you. So God spoke to Joshua. Look at verse number 2. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So what did God say to Joshua? He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, it's the river, you and all this people, the land I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. God will accomplish his will through you as you obey him. Notice God gave Joshua an action point. He says, arise and cross the Jordan River. You'll never possess the promise by just laying back thinking God's going to do everything for you. Notice two things there. He says, arise across the Jordan River to the land I am giving you. So who gave Israel the land? God did. But did Israel have to do something? Yes, because faith is an action. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is action. God will fulfill his will through you as you obey him. You see the parallel things there. God giving the land, but Joshua had to rise and they had to cross the Jordan River. And if just Joshua doesn't cross the Jordan River, he could have been, God, eventually Israel would have gone to the promised land, but it wouldn't have been Joshua leading them. It would have been someone else. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Moses disobeyed God and God says, you're not going to the promised land. I'm going to send someone else to do it. Israel obtained the promise, delayed 40 years, but Moses didn't go in because he lived in disobedience. If you're going to possess the promises of God, you have to live in obedience. Listen, the road to God's blessings is always through obedience. You cannot experience the blessings of God outside of obedience. Now listen to me. Obedience will cost you something. To obey God, there's usually a cost. But let me tell you what. The cost of disobedience is always greater. When you disobey God and you go down the wrong road, I promise you, those consequences are always greater than the consequences of obeying God. So God said, Joshua, get up, arise, lead the people across the Jordan River to the land I'm going to show you. And then God gets very specific to Joshua. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So what a promise. He said, Joshua, when you cross into the promised land, every single inch of ground that your feet touches is yours. And then he confirmed, he goes, just like I said to Moses, who's at that point, the greatest leader of Israel. Today, you either say Moses or David were probably the greatest leaders of Israel. Close, right? Joshua, he goes, just like I blessed Moses and I promised Moses, I'm promising you. Verse number 4, from the wilderness, here's the geographic boundaries. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So God made Joshua a promise. And notice he was very specific about the promise. Was Joshua confused about what God said? No. Again, I want to repeat this. I've learned in my life, God's intelligent enough to let me know when it's he speaking to me, what he says, and what I'm supposed to do. When God spoke to Joshua, Joshua knew it was God. Again, we don't know how God spoke to Joshua. Doesn't really matter how. Don't focus on the method of God speaking. Focus on God speaks. And Joshua knew exactly what God said. He goes, you're going to cross the Jordan River and every single inch of land that your feet touches, I'm giving to you. Then you can look on a map today. He gives the boundaries of Israel. Very specific. God will reveal to you as much as you can take in that moment. Okay? So God spoke to Joshua. Now look at number 5. This is such a great promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now that's important because here's a promise. Here's the problem. The land that God promised Israel and Joshua, people lived in that land. And they just weren't going to give them their property. Fact is, one of the reasons the 10 spies had lacked faith is not only was there people in that land, but in their eyes, they were giants. Remember, they said, we can't go in the promised land because we will lose. The people there are stronger than we are. And listen, after 40 years, those same types of people lived there. Giants still lived in the land. The people, Israel had never formed an army in its history. They had been slaves in Egypt. They had never been trained in warfare. They had not had generals, no experience as an army. They had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Now here's this group of people that have no military experience, and they're supposed to go on this property and take the land when the people are bigger and stronger than they are. That's a problem, right? But God's telling Joshua, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, listen to this, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The greatest promise that Joshua received was not the promise of land. It was a promise of God's presence. He said, Joshua, when you arise and cross that Jordan, every single inch of land your feet touch, it's yours. And you know how you're going to take that land? Because I'm with you. And I want you to know tonight, the guarantee of you receiving and possessing the promises of God is the presence of God. When you've got God's favor and blessings, one of the reasons I close every service here on Sunday morning is with God's blessing, and I pray God's favor on you, because when you've got God's favor and God's blessings in your life, no man can stand against you. God is saying, Joshua, you're going to possess the promise, you're going to possess the land, because you're going to possess my presence. And I don't care there's giants there. And I don't care there's experienced armies there. I don't care they got better weapons than you do. You've got the presence of God on you. And listen, all of hell may be coming against you.
God may be, Satan may be throwing every demon against you, but I want you to know, the Bible says no weapons formed against you is going to prosper. I want you to know when you got the presence of God on you, you've got more than what the devil could ever have. Your faith is not based upon your ability to possess the promise. Your faith is based upon God's presence on your life. He didn't tell Joshua, you're going to possess the land and defeat the giants because I'm going to give you great weapons and you're going to have great military strategy and you're going to go. In fact, as we studied Joshua, their strategies were crazy. I mean, God tells them to go around walls seven times, right? I mean, there was no military in the world doing the strategy that God was giving them to possess the land. They possessed the land not based upon military strategy. They didn't possess the land because they had better weapons or a better military. They possessed the land because they possessed God's presence. That's why there's nothing. If you want to possess the promise, spend time in God's presence. Spend time in God's presence. Your faith will always be built in the presence of God. If you want to increase your faith, increase your prayer times. If you want to increase your faith, increase your times in the Word of God. Because it's in that place that faith is built. Because your faith is in the character of God. And you learn God's character by spending time in God's presence. Remember when you dated your spouse, those that are married? You know, when you first meet them, you don't really know them. But how do you get to know them? You spend time with them, and trust is built over time, right? I mean, I trust Kathy a whole lot more today than I did the first day I met her. How do you recognize God's voice? By spending time in God's presence. When Kathy and I first started dating, this was before cell phones, so it was like the dark ages, okay? And you actually had to call people on landlines, right? We at least had we didn't have a cord. We had the cordless phones when we dated. We didn't have to do the cord, but we had cordless phones. Do you remember the cord? Does anybody remember the cord? I remember it being on my parents' wall. You know, when Kathy first started calling me, I lived in a day when you answered the phone, you didn't know who was on the other side. Can you believe that? Like, you didn't know who called. You had to say hello, and they had a. So when Kathy first started calling me, she would have to identify herself. But after I spent enough time with Kathy, when I heard her say hello, I recognized her voice. I learned to recognize Kathy's voice by spending time with Kathy. And you'll learn to recognize God's voice in your life by spending time with God. The more time you spend with God, the more familiar you'll become with him. Does that make sense? So if you want to become more familiar with God, spend more time with God. God promised Joshua, I'm going with you. I'm going to be with you. You're going to possess the promise because you have my presence. If you want to possess the promise, possess God's premise. Look at the next verse. I love Joshua. I love this little thing. Verse number 6. I love this. God tells Joshua, we're going to see a theme here, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide and inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. If you're going to possess the promise of God, you've got to have faith and courage. What I've learned is that when God speaks, listen, this is so important. When God speaks, it will lead to a crisis of faith. Joshua had a crisis of faith. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? He had to believe two things. He had to believe that it was God speaking to him. And he had to believe that God would do what he said he would do, right? So when God heard a voice, or however, when Joshua heard a voice, or however God spoke to him, Joshua had a decision to make. Listen, you will know what you believe about God when God speaks to you. You'll discover what you believe about God when God speaks to you. Joshua had to believe that's God. God is who he says he is. And number two, God's going to do what he said he would do. So God says, Joshua, you've got to have courage. You've got to be strong and courageous. Notice, listen, when Joshua, we're going to study it in a few weeks, when Joshua and the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, do you think they were a little nervous? I would have been. There's giants in that land. And I know God spoke he was going to be with them and he was going to give them victory and give them the land. But it's a little easier for us because we know the rest of the story, right? Joshua did not know Paul Harvey, and I'm really dating myself with that reference. If you don't know who Paul Harvey is, Google it, all right? He used to do a radio program that said the rest of the story, right? Joshua didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't know the ending. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. He just knew God spoke. But I'm telling you, you got to be a little nervous. You got to be and so God, listen, when God speaks to you, he doesn't take away fear. He tells you to be strong and courageous because you believe God is who he says he is and God will do what he says he will do. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is feeling the fear and going forward anyway. If you're not experiencing fear, you probably don't need faith. So God doesn't take away your nervousness. Sometimes we get to feel like, okay, if God spoke to me and promised me to do it, I wouldn't be nervous or I wouldn't be afraid. No, if you're not a little nervous and a little afraid, I wonder if God really spoke to you. Because God's promises are God-sized. God doesn't make small promises. He makes big promises. He says, every inch of land your feet touch is going to belong to you. That's a big promise when that land belongs to somebody else. It's a big promise. So you're going to see it. God said, Joshua, if you're going to possess the promise, you've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. Faith and courage is required to receive the promise. That's a prayer that I pray for myself regularly. Do you have certain prayers you pray for yourself consistently? I hope you do. Little phrases, little prayers. One of the prayers that I pray for myself consistently is, God, reveal to me your will. Then, God, give me the faith and courage to obey. I need both. I need God's revelation, him removing the veil so I can see what the will of God is. And I need God to give me the faith and courage to obey, because I know once God reveals his will, my flesh is not going to want to do it or not think I can do it, right? You have doubts. So God, reveal your will to me. Give me your vision. Reveal your will to me. But God, give me faith and courage to obey you once you reveal your will to me. Let's go to verse number 7. Look at this. He says it again, only be strong, and this time he says, very courageous. Joshua, you're going to possess the land? Be strong and very courageous. Look at this, that you may observe according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Look at the verse. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. What's the key to prospering wherever you go? It's obedience. He says, Joshua, do everything I've told you to do, and don't you swerve to the right, and don't you swerve to the left, but you do everything I tell you to do, and you will prosper. I want to say it again. We said the road to God's blessing is obedience. He said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. What happens is, why was God telling Joshua to be strong and courageous? Because sometimes we start obeying God, and in our minds we think everything's going to be smooth sailing. Everything's going to be easy. We don't expect a battle. But how many of you know there's a devil, you have an enemy, who doesn't want you to possess the promise of God? So as soon as you start obeying, Satan starts attacking. And what we as human beings want to do, what happens in our flesh is, we'll want to start compromising. We want to swerve. We don't want to walk in full disobedience. We're just going to swerve a little bit to the left, or we're going to swerve a little bit to the right, or we'll obey most of God's instructions to us. We may obey 75%. We may obey 80% of what God does. But God says, Joshua, you got to be strong and courageous, and you got to obey everything I said you to do. And don't you swerve to the left, and don't you swerve to the right. So many times we quit in faith, I think, right before the answer comes. Take some perseverance. Faith endures. Faith has some stick-to-itness. Does that make sense? of God, I know you spoke to me. I know you made me a promise about my kids. I know you made me a promise about my family. I know you made me a promise about my church. And even though things don't seem to be going the way you seem to promise, I'm not going to stop believing for the promise. What is Satan trying to destroy in your life? Your faith. When Satan attacks you, his goal in the attacks on your life is to just cause you to undermine your belief and your faith in God. Because Satan knows without faith, it's impossible to please God. That you got to believe God earnestly rewards those who seek him. That's in the New Testament. So Satan is attacking your faith. Of God, I know you promised some breakthroughs in our church, but we get problems. I guess I didn't hear God. Or I guess God's not going to answer that. And what Satan does is want to cause you to doubt and to undermine and destroy your faith. So if you're going to possess the promise, you've got to be strong and courageous. This time he said, very courageous. Very courageous. He goes, Joshua, this is a battle. Faith is a battle. It's a war. There's good forces and evil forces in the spiritual realm, and there's a battle. We'll see this as we study Joshua. There was a battle. And if you're going to walk in faith and receive what God has for you, you've got to be strong in your faith. And you've got to have courage that you're not going to give up. Now, how do you build that courage, and how do you get strong in the Lord? It goes right back to experiencing the presence of God. There's a story about David when David and his army came upon his families, their family. They had gone to leave a war, the men did, and they left behind the women and children all possessions. And while they were gone, some enemy came and attacked and took all their possessions and all their wives and all their children and left. When David and his army came back, they could see the smoke in the distance where the enemies had burned the camp. Can you imagine that? You're coming back from war, and you're getting ready to be reunited with your spouses and with your children, and you see smoke on the horizon. I bet they sped up on their horses, don't you? When they got there, it was all gone. And the army got discouraged, and they started turning against David. They started about killing David. David, you let us off to war. Now our wives and our children, our possessions, everything's gone. And the Bible uses this phrase, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. When David was discouraged and faced a low point of his life, he found strength in God's presence. Now, it doesn't tell us. I thought when I studied this before, I wish God told us exactly what David did. Like, how did he strengthen himself in the Lord? But here's the problem. If we knew that, we'd make that a method. And we put our faith in a method and not in God. Because sometimes you strengthen yourself in the Lord in different ways. Sometimes I strengthen myself in the Lord by turning on some music, worship music, and just spend time in his presence. Sometimes I strengthen myself in the Lord by getting in the Bible and remembering the promises of God. You can strengthen yourself in the Lord in multiple ways. The key was not the method that David used, but who he went to. He went to the Lord. And when he went to the Lord, he found strength. So if we're going to be strong and courageous, it ties back to abiding in Christ and living in him and spending time in his presence. All right, I believe we're on verse 8, right? Are you with me? Verse number 8. It's another great promise right here. I think there's two keys. If you want to prosper in life, Joshua 1 tells us exactly how to prosper. Number one, spend time in the presence of God, right? We just read that. Look at verse number 9. The book of the law, for us the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. That means you should always be speaking the word of the Lord. You should always be declaring God's promises. There's power in the declared word of God. Does that make sense? There's power in declared word of God. You shall meditate on God's word day and night, that you should observe to do according to all that is written. Look at this. For you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Now think about what it just says here. Think about the Bible. You want to be successful in life? Number one, spend time in God's presence. Number two, spend time in God's word. He says if you'll speak the word of God, and if you'll meditate on the word. What's the word meditate mean? The word meditate literally means to chew the cud. Cows, when they eat the grass, they'll chew and chew and chew and chew and chew and that kind of. Meditating on the word of God is you take the promise of God and you run it in your mind over and over and over and over again. Right? I've got a promise that I haven't really shared here or anyone else. Kathy knows about it. It's a verse that God gave me when we came here. And I run that verse in my mind over and over and over again. Back when Kathy and I, this was back in year 2000, we went and planted a church in Dawson Springs, Kentucky. And the first year and a half there was, to be honest, pretty difficult. And I wasn't sure the church was even going to make it. And I got pretty discouraged. And then God gave me a promise. Psalm 50:15. I was reading my one-year Bible. That's why I believe so much in daily Bible reading. Systematically reading through the Bible. Because you never know when that'll be the day that God has a promise for you. Psalm 50:15 says, trust the Lord in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Trust me in your times of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. When I read that verse that day, I'm telling you, that verse popped off the page. I knew the moment I read that verse, so that promise was for me. You say, well, how do you know it? It's called enlightenment. The Holy Spirit will take that verse and just, you just know inside, that's a promise God's making to me. And it said three things. Number one, I was in trouble. And God said, trust me. Then God says, I'm going to rescue you. And then God says, one day you'll give me glory for it. Well, I'm telling you, did things get immediately better? No, again, there's always an attack after the promise. Things got worse. But I would say that verse over and over again. There was a person there that was trying to do me harm, to be honest with you, and they had a business. Every time I passed that business, I said, God, I trust you. You're going to rescue me, and one day I'm going to give you glory. I'd be in our sanctuary, little bitty sanctuary, and I'd walk that sanctuary just saying, God, I trust you in my time of trouble. You're going to rescue me, and one day I'm going to give you glory. If I got in bed at night and started worrying, you know how you start worrying. You know the difference between meditating about faith and meditating about worry is what you're meditating on. If your mind's full of all the bad things, and I was having trouble going to sleep because when I went to bed at night, my imagination started telling me all the bad things that were going to happen. And the only way I know to stop that, if you ever face that, is start proclaiming the word of God. So in my mind, I said, now, God, I trust you in my time of trouble. I believe you're going to rescue me. And one day I'm going to give you. I probably quoted that verse millions of times. I'm telling you. It was my anchor. It was my promise. And I meditated on that verse. I spoke that verse. I stood on that verse. When things got bad, I said, God, I trust you in my times of trouble. You're going to rescue me out of this, and I'm going to give you glory. Kathy and I were there 3 years before we became our senior pastor here. About a year and a half into our time there, there was just a breakthrough in the church that to this day I can't explain. And we left there, things were going great. And today, 4 or 5 years later, I'm still giving God glory, still fulfilling the verse, right? Because I'm giving God glory tonight for what he did back 22 years ago. I trusted him in my time of trouble. He rescued me, and I still give him glory. But I'm telling you, I meditated on that verse and I spoke that verse probably for about a year, millions of times. Sometimes it was the only thing that kept me going because nothing on the outside was going right. I had a family of 5 of the church of around 30. It's hard to feed a family of 5 of a church of 30. I'm just telling you, it was tough times. My wife and I got so desperate. How do we grow this church in this little bitty town? After dinner every night, we start going door to door.
introducing ourselves and saying, hey, please come to my church. I need to feed my family. I wasn't exactly saying it that way, but that was what was going on in my mind, like, please come to our church. One day, a youth group from Owensboro came, and literally in one day, we made up a packet. Some of you know Bob Todd gave us some money. And we made this little packet, and we put this packet in every single door in the community. Again, it's only 3,000 people in Dawson, so it wasn't that much. But probably had 15 children. And we put a packet in every hanger on every single door. We walked that whole city and prayed. And one family showed up. But I'll never forget this, Joe Varga and his family. Never forget it. Then a few weeks later, two families from Madisonville came that knew me from youth camps, and they heard we were pastor. Been there a year. They just heard we were there. And I'll never forget the Wibbons and the Woodards. They walked through the door of that church. Scott Woodard, still the children's pastor in that church, 20-something, 30-something years later, still there. John Wibbon became our men's ministry. His wife, Melissa, started a women's. I mean, people just started coming. And God started growing that little church. God rescued me at a time that I didn't know if we were going to survive. Kathy and I, in some ways, that was harder than going to Egypt. I'll just be honest. We were young, and it was just hard. I had to meditate on the Word of God. I had to declare the Word of God. If you're going to possess the promise, you've got to do spiritual warfare. You've got to do battle. And I just wasn't saying it. I believed it. If you say it enough, you'll start believing it. I'm telling you, the person that owned a car lot, was like, I had to pass by that car lot to go home anytime. I had to pass by. Every time, I'm like, I trust you in my times. You're going to rescue me, and I'm going to give you glory. Well, after a while, you start saying it. You start believing it. Like, God, you're going to rescue me out of this. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. If you want to be prosperous and successful in life, spend time in God's presence and spend time in God's Word. Listen, all the self-help books, and I'm not against some of that, and all of our education and all the things we do in the West trying to be successful. If you want to be successful, spend time in the presence of God. Spend time in the presence of God. If you've got a problem in your family or in your finances or in your health, talk to God about it. And then get in the Word of God. Begin to meditate on it. Begin to declare it. Begin to believe it. Obey it. Obey it. You start doing the Word of God. Listen, knowing and doing the will of God, is the Word of God is key to success and key to prospering. Our last verse, verse number 9. Have I not commanded you? So now God's asking Joshua a question. Haven't I commanded you? Look at this. Be strong and of good courage. How many times did God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? Whole bunch, right? God's not repeating himself to be repetitious. He's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous because Joshua's going to have to be strong and courageous. And that's for you tonight. If you're in a battle, or if you want to possess your promise, God's not being repetitive for the sake of being repetitive. He's trying to get a message through you. Sometimes we could be stubborn, right? Joshua had no excuse. He knew exactly what be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or be dismayed. That word means discouraged. Look, how do you overcome discouragement and fear? Well, he tells you right here. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you have a battle with discouragement, or you got a battle with fear, do you want to know how to overcome that discouragement? Spend time in God's presence. He said, Joshua, be of good courage. Be strong. Do not be afraid. Listen, God commanded Joshua not to be afraid, and God commanded Joshua not to be discouraged. Do you know that? In the New Testament, in Matthew 6, Jesus says this, do not worry. Do you know that when we worry, we disobey God? Worry is an act of disobedience. He says, do not worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, don't worry, seek God. Matthew chapter 6. Look at it. Worry is disobedience. Fear is disobedience. Discouragement is disobedience. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have the emotion, but you can't live in that. You cannot live in that emotion of worry and fear and disobedience. You seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things. So seek God and seek his kingdom first, and the Bible makes you a promise, all of these things. What do you need? It's included in that word all. If you do a Greek study of the word all in the New Testament, you know what it means? It means everything. It means all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all, whatever you need of these things, will be added to you. You overcome fear, and you overcome discouragement, and you overcome worry by seeking God. You replace fear with faith, and you do that by meditating on the Word of God and spending time in God's presence. Does that make sense? Now listen, I know that's not what the world teaches today. This is an opposition of what our culture teaches today. It's an opposition. You have to make a choice of what you believe. The Word of God or pop culture? Pop culture, I guarantee it will lead you to discouragement and depression and fear and worry and anxiety. And America's got an epidemic of it today. Do you know why we have an epidemic? Because we're doing everything but going to God. We're doing everything but going to God. Now, little disclaimer here. Sometimes depression, those things can be a chemical imbalance. And if you're facing a chemical imbalance, see a doctor. That's not a lack of faith. I'm talking about the kind of discouragement that's not caused by a physical issue. That physical issue could be the same as having high blood pressure, and we don't guilt anybody who has high blood pressure, right? We take high blood pressure medicine. It's okay to do that. And so if you have faced depression because of a chemical imbalance, I do not want to guilt you tonight. So please hear me as your pastor. We recognize that can be a real health issue. Most of the time when, as a pastor, I deal with people who are overcome by worry, anxiety, and fear, and discouragement, it's not a health issue, it's a thinking issue. And the Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So renewing your mind with the Word of God will transform you so you can overcome fear and being dismayed and worry. Does that make sense? So I want to have a balance here. And we believe in no condemnation. This is a no condemnation zone here, right? We're not here to condemn anyone. So if you've battled with the physical illness of depression, that's different. Okay? Does everybody, pastor says that's different, right? But for the regular stuff that most of us face, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things will be added to you. Do not be dismayed. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll go with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Tomorrow when you go to work, you know what? God's going with you. When you go home tonight, God's going with you. Wherever you go this weekend, if you go to TriFest, God bless you. God is with you. God is with you. I'll go get my one thing to eat and I'll leave and never go back. So I'll make like a... I'm right there. I know exactly what I want to eat. I get the same thing every year. Tenderloin sandwich, apple dumpling with vanilla ice cream. I know exactly. See, I know exactly which booth I'm going to go. It drives my wife crazy. I'm in and I'm out. I'm in and I'm out. I'm like, those kind of crowds is not my thing, right? I'm like, I'll go home. But I'm doing that. Wherever you go, God's with you. And because God promises to go with you wherever you go, you don't have to be overcome by fear. You don't have to be overcome by discouragement. You don't have to become overcome by worry because God is with you. He's with you. I've told this story before. I'm going to end. When I was in junior high, I'm not very tall today, but I was kind of puny in middle school. Went to North here. And there were two brothers who I remember their name, but I will not speak it because I have forgiven them. They liked to pick on me. And what they would do was knock my book out of my hands as I was going from class to class. So, you know, you'd have your books. This is, we never carried a backpack when I was a kid. We just carried our books. And they would come and they would smack books on my hands and they would scatter and they laugh at me and I get my books, you know, and go to class. So I was like scared to go from class to class. You know what I mean? I was like trying to figure out where those two guys was, and I'd take the long way. I didn't care if I was late for class or not. I'm, you know. Well, my cousin goes to church here. His name is Jeff Todd. And when we were in school, his nickname was Jethro, after the guy on the Hillbillies, if that tells you anything. I didn't give him the nickname. I'm just telling you what his nickname was. When he comes this Sunday, say, hey, Jethro, and he'll come looking for me. Well, he's a big guy. He was a football player. And he was one of the biggest guys in the school. And these two brothers didn't know he was my cousin. And so he saw them do it one time. And let's just say they never did it again, right? He let those two boys know, that's my cousin. And you don't mess with him. Can I tell you, kind of fear and dismay kind of left me. I can walk down the hallway because they knew Jeff was going to beat them up if they knocked the book out of my hands. They were not going to mess with me in school. I kind of had my own bodyguard. It was great, right? Do you know what? You've got someone bigger than my cousin going with you tonight and tomorrow. You got the sovereign God of the universe, the all-powerful one that defeated death and the grave and rose again. And because he's with you, you can walk down the hallway without fear, without discouragement, without worry, because you've got the God of the universe who loves you walking with you. Father, we thank you, one, that you're a promise maker. And God, I believe you got a promise for this church, promises for this church. And I believe you got promises for every person in this room and their families. The Bible says before they were born, when they're in their mother's womb, you planned all the days of their life. You've got a purpose and a plan. And Father, we know we have an enemy that tries to defeat us or tries to keep us from receiving the promise. But God, I'm thankful that we don't have to be overcome by worry or discouragement or fear, because you're with us. We've got the best bodyguard in the universe walking with us. So Lord, if anyone today is dealing with discouragement or fear or worry, I pray it be lifted in Jesus' name. And I pray tonight they leave in faith knowing that you're with them wherever they go. That's your promise. I'll be with you wherever you go. I am with you. And God, we want to possess. We don't want to just know the promise. We want to possess the promise. So God, build our faith. Increase our faith as we study Joshua and how they possessed the promised land. God, build our faith. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. See you Sunday. Part 2 of Come Home. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it.